And that is it. More gold belts.
What's good, everybody? It's the Off Day Podcast. Tangent Media, thank you for showing up. Please get at the show, the Tangent Podcast on Facebook, Liquid Jumper, and The Real Tangent on Twitter. Or Tangent Takes, if you will. Now, Michigan State just screwed up my whole entire bracket. I had them going to the title. And now they're out. Middle Tennessee State, shout out. I mean, all you heard were all the March cliches. It's January, February, Izzo. Wow. This is a big upset, man. And for it to be Michigan State, with a lot of college basketball pedigree, I saw, it's funny, the last few days I've been seeing the whole Mateen Cleaves dancing after he won the belt with that big cheesy smile. I've been seeing that footage a lot. It's March though, you know, because it's supposed to be January, February, Izzo, right? I mean, Yale winning. I mean, these are all champions of leagues, and basketball isn't like football. Basketball isn't like any other sport. The best team is going to win. In basketball, if someone gets hot, they're just hot. They're just hot. The closest thing I could think to someone getting hot in basketball in like a baseball sense was Daniel Murphy last year in the postseason. He was on fire the whole Cup Series. Like, ew, they're going. They're going. And then, of course, they lost in the big time. But hey, as a Braves fan, you can't help but just look at their pitching staff and be like, hey, can we raid and pillage that? I mean, the Uribe trade last year, getting the prospects, that was a good move by the Braves. Trading with the Mets, hey, if you can win the deal with your rival, you gotta win the deal. Anyway, my bracket's done, so... There are a few little upsets that I picked. I picked Gonzaga to win just because it's Mark Few, man. Mark Few's going to win a couple of games in the tournament, right? At least a couple. I would love for Mark Few to get to the Final Four this year. Because now, like I said, now that my bracket is busted, I don't care who wins. I don't care now because my pick is out in the first round. Shoot. But... I'll pull up my bracket in a second, cause it's done. Anyway, what else happened here? There's gonna be a USC fight. Frank Mir, Mark Hunt, Brisbane, I think. I'll watch it. I'm not as amped, cause the UFC has just been on fire for like the last month and a half. It's good to have a little break, decompress, watch a little bit of Warriors basketball, still soak in the Denver Broncos win, the Peyton retirement, all these other little things that are just going on with sports. But I'm going to watch Mark Hunt and Frank Mir. I think it's going to be a good fight. I mean, it's not going to last long. Mark Hunt has been known to get into some battles, though. It's going to be an interesting watch. But after what happened with Misha and Nate Diaz, that whole card was nuts. This whole year, right now, it's probably the most action-packed and my favorite year in UFC thus far. Just because the Lawler-Condit fight was amazing. And I still think Condit got jerked, but that's another conversation for another day. The Holly-Misha fight, the Conor-Nate fight, just that alone right there. We're still waiting on what's happening with Ronda. And now we have the drama of Cormier-Jones too. Ugh. It's looking good. And now that Conor's lost, I don't know if it's been scheduled yet, but it needs to be scheduled. Conor McGregor, Frankie Edgar, the resident MMA expert Plex, we were talking about it, and he's like, yeah, but Frankie's had so many title shots, and he's completely correct. I mean, he's defended a lot. And then the whole BJ Penn trilogy, where he just dusted BJ. I think him and Conor McGregor should fight. I think that's the fight to make. Now, when Rafael Dos Anjos comes back, does Conor get that fight too? I mean, does Conor still run the game like he did previous to Nate getting the RNC? And the Holly Holm fight, just to touch on it briefly before I get back into whatever the hell I was talking about, it was a good fight. And Holly probably was going to win that fight. But Misha just threw caution to the wind, got a grimy takedown, and then just worked. I don't want to talk about the whole, it's cliche now. Well, Holly tapped and Conor didn't. I don't even want to bother. Look, actually, I will touch on it, okay? Because someone made a really, really good point about this, and I didn't even think about it until it was said. I was listening to Max Kellerman, Max and Marcellus on ESPN in LA. Great show. Max Kellerman said, well, and he said it very simply, just real casual, like, well, Holly Holm has a boxer's mentality. She's a world champion boxer, and they're just used to getting knocked out. They don't tap. I was like, wow, that's true. That is a very good point. She has a boxer's mentality. That's why she didn't tap. Conor's an MMA fighter, and, I mean, when you're in the gym and someone has you, they just have you. So the training is different, and I get that. But as far as that's just a point I wanted to bring up about that, and I don't want to talk about it no more. But they should make Conor and Frankie. But if Rafael Dos Anjos comes back and they give Conor that fight, I'm still not mad about it because there's still fire behind it. And Rafael hasn't fought. He has no damage except for the injury, of course. But Conor just took some damage. And he took the psychological damage of a loss. So it's going to be a different fight than what it would have been the first time if he fought Dos Anjos. Okay. Okay. I'm going to end on this because I want to make this a nice quick one. Look, the Broncos lost Peyton Manning to retirement and lost Brock Osweiler to a little bit better deal in Houston. And everyone's like, oh, well, number one, I knew if the Broncos won this belt in the fashion that they did, that there was going to be some haters. And everyone wants to say, well, oh, I'm so glad you got Sanchez, and start laughing. Okay. It's simple math, everybody. It's very, very simple math. If you lose two quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks do you need? Oh, wait. Two, right? Okay. Do you think that John Elway got Mark Sanchez as a starter when he has to fill two positions? You don't think John Elway is looking for a starting quarterback as we speak? Is that what y'all are telling me? Come on, man. Come on. So everybody calling me talking about the new starting quarterback for the Broncos, Mark Sanchez. I'm like, dog, he backed up Sam Bradford. How is he going to start for the world champions, reigning, defending? How is he going to do that, man? He can't. There's no way John Elway thinks he can. John Elway has three belts now. He's not looking at Mark Sanchez saying, yep, we're going for a dub. No. You can't win two titles in a row with Mark Sanchez quarterbacking that thing. We know this. He's working on it. We don't know if he's going to trade up for Wentz. We don't know what he's going to do. I don't want Goff because I don't want Goff. And I don't know. I don't want Goff on the Broncos. It feels wrong. It feels real Brian Greasy-ish. And it's hard to explain. But anyone who remembers when Elway won the belts and then retired, and it was that Monday night game against the Dolphins way back in the day, and Brian Greasy came out, and I'm sitting there watching it across the street from my job. I'm like, I looked around, like, it's going to be bad for a minute. And I knew it would be bad for a minute. That's why this Super Bowl feels so wonderful as a Broncos fan. Because it's like, finally, Brian Greasy, Jake Plummer, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, just let's get somebody. Tim Tebow. Come on, man. If you had Tim Tebow, why don't you keep Tim Tebow? Okay, that's way, way old. And why didn't you keep Tim Tebow? You know what I'm saying? What if Peyton Manning groomed Tim Tebow instead of Brock Osweiler? I bet you'd have a starting quarterback that's going to win you games. And if you had Peyton Manning, that's even better, actually. Do you know why? Because Tim Tebow just wants to play football. Or he did at that time, at least. At least that's the perception I got. So why not have Tim Tebow, one of the biggest stars in the nation, coming off the national championships, Heisman Trophy, have him learn at the hand of the legend. And then you don't have to worry about him bouncing for money, because I don't think he would have. Tim Tebow was winning games. Okay. Let's not front. You have Tim Tebow on the roster, Peyton Manning comes in, Tim Tebow's automatically the backup. Automatically. And then you just have him there. That's what they should have did. But they got Osweiler, and now Osweiler's in Houston, groomed and ready to go for another team. So, the Broncos did pick up Mark Sanchez. Trust me, there's no way he's starting. Everybody outside of the Bronco fans that I talk to are saying he's going to start. Everybody inside the cocoon is like, there's no way Mark Sanchez is starting for the Denver Broncos next year. There's no way. There's no way. It's not happening. So, we'll see what happens. We're going to see. Because there have been a lot of movement. There's been a whole bunch of movement all around the division. The Raiders are going to be much better. The whole division is going to be much better. It was much better last year. It's just the Broncos got off to a banging-ass start. Once they beat the Packers, I think the rest of the division knew it was a wrap. Peyton didn't lose the division the whole tenure he was there with the Broncos. You got to give him that. It was playoffs every single year. Now, two Super Bowl appearances in that time. Okay. And I always said it. And I don't know if I said it out loud on the actual podcast, but I'll say it now. Peyton was a Colt, man. Peyton Manning was a Colt. Look, this is the day after Thanksgiving. This is the day after St. Paddy's. They're about to build a statue for Peyton Manning in Indy. He's a Colt, and I've been saying it the whole time. The only time he was a Bronco is a couple of weeks ago when he won me that belt. That's all I wanted out of him. And everyone's saying that, well, he didn't do anything on the field. Yes, he did. He managed that game. I said it right then at the Chiefs game. Everyone on Facebook was posting, Peyton looks like whatever. I'm like, yeah, but this defense is bonkers. It's bonkers. And it was. Now, Broncos going into next year, wow, it's going to be hard. They already lost 9 starters from the crew that just won the Super Bowl. 9 starters out of 22 already. So, it's not even a rebuilding thing. They're going to reload. They got the core pieces. Von Miller, now, ugh. Yeah, they lost a few people. Because Danny Trevathan is a slept-on commodity in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. I feel like the linebackers that the Broncos have had throughout the years, if you're not good, you don't play. Like, Al Wilson was a good player. You know what I'm saying? And Dan Trevathan, Wesley Woodyard, these are good players, man. I was talking to someone, it's like, yeah, but what if DeMarcus Ware retires? It's like, huh, you know? That would hurt too. Who do I have as a favorite? Since we're just spitballing shit anyway. I can't say the Broncos are the favorite to go back. You can't do that when you don't know what's going on at quarterback. So I can't say anything right now. The Patriots always look prime to go. And the one player that I think the Patriots might scoop is Arian Foster. I don't know why I feel that, but I'll just throw it out there. And perhaps I was wrong thinking Matthew Stafford was going to go to the Broncos, but I will say this. If we do get Matthew Stafford on the Broncos team, and I did say we, if the Broncos get Matthew Stafford, then they can go back. They can go back. they can do it. If they have that weapon. Matthew Stafford with this crew. And they just re-signed C.J. Anderson. Ooh, that's another thing. You have Ronnie Hillman on deck. Why'd you match that? Unless you didn't believe that Hillman can carry the mail. That was an interesting move by the Broncos. It was some money they could have saved, I think. But and then, after it's signed, C.J. Anderson come out and say he felt disrespected by the offer. Well, we signed you despite you. You know what I'm saying? It just feels like, I don't know. Weird. But C.J. Anderson's a good player when he's on deck, on fire. Last year, I had him on my fantasy team. He didn't do that much work. All right. Oh, okay. This is the last thing, and then we'll get the hell out of here. The Warriors. Will they break the Bulls record? Yes. I don't even want to have that conversation anymore. They're that good. When Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are on the court together, it's done. If they're both dropping 30, you're not beating them. And then all the other pieces. It's like Andrew Bogut is not a horrible player. He's a very good player, actually. You said Draymond Green is an all-star. I mean, Livingston is out here against the Mavericks throwing behind-the-back passes for threes. It's just a really cohesive group. One of the most cohesive groups I've seen in the pros. So, for them to have... Oh, tomorrow, the Spurs... Wow, that is going to be a great game. I don't know what time it comes on, but I will find out and be there. Anyway, the Warriors and Spurs are on a collision course. That's what the consensus is, and I'd have to agree. I don't see anyone else in the West. Listen, in a 7-game series, I'd rather see the Spurs. And I'm not trying to hate on OKC at all, but when I think about it, it's like, I know the gear is in them. I know the gear is in Russell Westbrook. And I know the gear is in Kevin Durant. I know the gear is there. All I want you to do is flip that switch. If they could beat the Warriors, they're winning the chip. That's all there is to it. Do they have the tools? Do they have enough? Do they have the discipline? Do they have the defense? You look at the recent games that they played. It's hard to say that they do. And then Steph Curry gets hot. It's... Now you talk about a dude getting hot. They have both of them at the same time. Going at the same time. They're impossible to beat. They're the best shooters in the backcourt. And Mark Jackson, he said this years ago. It's the best shooting backcourt I've ever seen. And now it's just coming to fruition. It's like, dude, these dudes are just wet all the time. Them against the Spurs is probably a better matchup. I just like it better. A first-year coach against that squad, I don't like it. A KG veteran with rings and a crew, I think that'll be a much better matchup for fans, at least. OKC can actually do it, and they could do it with those two. I think they could do it with those two alone. But that switch has to be on. It has to be on. Because Kevin Durant's unstoppable. Russell Westbrook's unstoppable. And two unstoppable people, just if they just have that chemistry, they can have that chemistry for 2 months straight. If they can have that chemistry for 2 months, those two and Billy Donovan, because, I mean, obviously, the coaching does matter in the playoffs. If it doesn't matter anywhere else, it matters in the playoffs. And being a coach, you see where you can improve, what you can correct, what you need to do wrong, what you need to do better. And Greg Popovich knows that better than anybody in the league. That's an advantage that the Spurs is always going to have, as long as Greg Popovich is at the helm. Now, Steve Kerr learned at the hand of Popovich. and brought most of the philosophies straight over Golden State. But there's no answer for Steph Curry shooting. There's no answer. Everyone's tried. Everyone's failed. There's no hack of Curry. He's shooting over 90 from the free throw line. I mean, what are you going to do with this dude? He can shoot from everywhere. He's just a shooter. Shooter, shooter, shooter. And I love it. And he can pass. He almost had a triple-double tonight. 31-10-9. 9 rebounds. Wow. And that's on a Friday night. And then they're going to a back-to-back against San Antonio. These dudes are ready. If everybody plays tomorrow night with no rest, and they come out with this W, they're breaking the record. There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my head. Man, I can't believe how good they are. I've never seen a team like this. It's the way they play. And they're open threes. They're open threes. And then if Steph's are probably never open now. Someone's on Steph. And Steph just shake them and then pull from wherever the hell he wants to. His awareness is stupid. Dribbling up. Oh, there's only 0.4 on the clock. I'm just throw it up. Of course they're going to win. It's shocking how good of a shooter he is. It's shocking. There's no one better. Reggie Miller, nuts. Ray Allen, bonkers. Purest shooter I've ever seen is Steph Curry. Purest. Because his set is just wet. He doesn't miss that set. But the best off the dribble shit I've ever seen is out of Steph Curry. Just shaking people. Just turnaround Jay. Tonight, he hit a turnaround and hit the top of the backboard, banked that bitch in. Like he meant it. It was crazy. There's going to be highlights of it. I need to do it myself and put that on a tangent. Man, I'm looking at this dude shooting. And then Klay Thompson was just going bananas. He just had 39. What are you going to do with these boys? What are you going to do? I don't know. Who has the defense for that? I don't know. Why can't Kevin Durant play Klay Thompson? And why can't Russell Westbrook play Steph Curry? Why can't that happen? And then let the chips fall. That's what I'm saying for OKC. I would love it. I would love to see that matchup. OKC, Golden State. I want that matchup. And I want OKC to have that switch on. Because Golden State never turn their switch off. They come out there, they're balling. You look at some of their losses this year, and it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, some of them, like the Denver loss, is like, okay, you're a much better team, but we already know that, and it's just a loss. You're not going to go undefeated. Get it. But they're going to break the record. Oh, I said I was going to open up my bracket. I have a whole bunch of red on my bracket. Wow. So I missed Colorado. I missed Cal. Hawaii beat Cal, so Wichita State, I should have known better on that. Iowa beat Temple. I don't know why I picked Temple. Cincy lost. Yale lost. So we got a 12 and 11 and a 13. 11 and a 10. Hey, it's not bad. The only upsets I picked correctly are Northern Iowa and VCU. Because I had a feeling about those. Let's see. On the other side. Yeah. The only upsets I picked were Syracuse and Gonzaga. But that's just by seeding. I mean, Syracuse is supposed to be Dayton, right? That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, Saturday's going to have a good slate. There are a few classics, like just big teams going against each other. Kansas and UConn, I really like that matchup. I like Kevin Ollie's coaching style. Indiana versus Kentucky, that's going to be a really good one. That's tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. Yo. Whew. Indiana, Kentucky, boy. I picked Indiana to go against USC in the Sweet 16, so we'll see what Crean has for Calipari and crew. So Yeah. But like I said, I picked Michigan State to lift it. And, yeah, my final was Maryland and Michigan State. At least Maryland's still in. Yeah. I'm still okay. Three of my final four are still intact. I had Maryland, Duke, and then Xavier and Michigan State. Michigan State. Wow, dog. 90-81. Damn, Izzo. Damn. All right. That's it. Thank you for listening. Please get at the show. Like I said, the Tangent Podcast on Facebook, The Real Tangent on Twitter, or Liquid Jumper on Twitter. And we're going to start pumping these out a little bit more efficiently. So I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate your goodwill. Till next time, it's your boy Mitch.
Thank you for listening to the best podcast in America. I'm Joshing, of course. Until next time, impress yourself and more gold belts.